Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to begin a study on the book of Ruth, And we'll begin with chapter 1 today, but before we do that, just some introductory remarks on the book of Ruth. Now, the events of the book of Ruth take place during the period of Judges, which is 450 years according, if you turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter 13, Acts chapter 13 with me. And in Acts chapter 13, in verse number 20, the Word of God tells us this. After that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. So the book of Ruth is placed between Judges and Samuel for a definite reason. Judges shows the decline of the Jewish nation under the law, while Samuel shows the setting up of the Jewish kingdom yet future. And then we have sandwiched between is a Gentile bride, the church, married to a Jew, Christ, during this present age. Furthermore, Ruth is the eighth book in the Bible, and eight is the number of new beginning, which it was for Ruth, for us, and for the dispensations. Amen? Now, Ruth and Esther are the only books in the Bible named after women. Ruth was a Gentile who married a Jew. Esther was a Jew who married a Gentile. While Esther begins with a feast and ends with a funeral, Ruth begins with a funeral and ends with a feast. Amen. Now let's begin in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. Let's read down together now the first 5 verses of Ruth chapter 1 together. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and his 2 sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion. Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left in her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. First of all, in verses 1 through 5, we have a wrong decision. Why a famine should come to Bethlehem, and of course Bethlehem means house of bread, we do not know. But this time period of Judges was frequently characterized as it says in Judges over and over again, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, this is the fourth famine mentioned in the Word of God. Interestingly, there are 13, the number of curse and rebellion. There are 13 famines in the Bible. Let me list them and give you the sites chronologically as they appear. The first one is found in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10. And there we have a famine in Palestine that caused Abraham to go to Egypt. The second one we find is recorded in Genesis chapter 26 in verse number 1. And here we find a famine in Palestine that caused Isaac to go to Philistia. The third famine is found in Genesis chapter 41 in verses 54 to 57. And here we find a famine in Palestine that caused Jacob's sons to go to Egypt. The fourth famine is recorded here in Ruth chapter 1 verse 1, and it's a famine that caused Naomi to go to Moab. Now the fifth famine recorded in the Word of God is found in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1. And it's a famine in David's day caused by Saul's bloody house. The sixth famine recorded in the Word of God is found in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. And here we find a famine in Elijah's day caused by the sins of Ahab. The seventh famine recorded in the Word of God is found in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 38, and it's actually the first of three famines in Elisha's day, resulting in him working a miracle of purifying some poisonous stew. Amen. The eighth famine recorded in the Word of God is found in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 25. And this second famine in Elisha's day was resulting in the salvation of a city through four lepers. The ninth famine recorded in the Word of God is found in 2 Kings chapter 8 in verses 1 through 6. And of course, this is the third famine in Elisha's day. And this third famine resulting in a woman, a servant, and a king knowing that there was still a prophet of God in Israel. And then we see the tenth famine recorded in the Word of God is found in the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 14. And this is a famine in Jerusalem caused by Nebuchadnezzar's siege of that city. Then we have the 11th famine recorded in the Word of God, which is found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 5, in verses 3 through 13. And it's a famine resulting in a sermon by Nehemiah and an ensuing revival for the people. And then we find the 12th famine recorded in the Word of God is found in the book of Acts, chapter 11, in verse 28. And it was a famine resulting in help being sent by outside Christians to believers in Judea. And then the last of the 13th famine recorded in the Word of God is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And this is a famine that will take place in the tribulation, which will contribute to the deaths of millions. Now, let's talk a little bit about Moab. Amen. Moab, the land of Moab. Moab is a place God has forbidden them to go. Amen. Because when Israel left the wilderness to go into Canaan, Moab refused them bread and water. Let's look in the book of Deuteronomy for a moment. And we'll come right back here to the book of Ruth in just a moment. But we want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 6, it says, Thou shalt not seek their peace, nor their prosperity all thy days forever, referring to Moab. They were forbidden to go into Moab. And then we see in verse 4 of that chapter, the reason for it is, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 4, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, because they hide against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. And of course it was Balak, king of Moab, who hired Balaam to try and curse Israel. Balaam did succeed in getting the people of Israel to fornicate with the Moabites and to take up the idolatrous worship of Baal. Thus, the Moabites were to be separate from Israel forever. And of course, we see all of that recorded where Balak, the king of Moab, hires Balaam to try and curse Israel. Of course, he was unable to do that, but what he did was he was able to get them to intermarry with the Moabites. And of course, all of that is talked about. If you want to study that on your own, we don't have time today. But in the book of Numbers, chapter 22 through 24. Now, it's interesting that twice in the Bible, God says that Moab is my washpot. And you can find that expression in the book of Psalms, Psalm 60, verse 8, and also Psalm 108, verse 9. Now, when Naomi and her husband and their two sons left Bethlehem to go to Moab, they planned to sojourn briefly, but continued about 10 years there in Moab until the father and the two sons died. Now, it's interesting that the name of the two sons may reflect the sorrow of their sojourn. For example, Mahlon means sickly, Chilion means pining. So we see a wrong decision introduced in a most difficult of circumstances. There was a famine in Bethlehem. We don't know why, but that seems to be the cause for them to leave and to sojourn. At the time, it was only to be for a short amount of time in Moab. But we saw what happened there, that both Naomi's husband and two sons died there. Now, the second thing we want to look at in chapter 1 is a wrong direction. A wrong direction. And we'll read from verse 6 with me, down through verse 18 of Ruth chapter 1. Then she arose, talking about Naomi, with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Now, as we continue here, Naomi hears of good news from back home and decides that it's time to return. Now remember, they left in the first place because of famine. So it's natural to assume her desire to return is based on carnal motives. You see, the Lord often uses carnal things to draw people to him. After all, it says in Psalm 103, verse 14, For he, that's God, knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We see, for example, the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 returns home because he is hungry. It appears that Naomi begins the return trip with two daughters-in-law, but soon changes her mind and encourages them to head in the wrong direction, back to Moab and Molech, the pagan god. My friends, always beware of the advice of a carnal Christian. The eventual outcome is predictable. When we discover the meaning of the names of these ladies, Orpah means double-minded, amen. And of course, we're reminded with in the book of James what it says about being double-minded. James chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me, we'll come right back to chapter 1 of Ruth. But in James chapter 1, in verse number 8, the Word of God says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then, but we see on the other hand, Ruth, the other daughter-in-law of Naomi, her name means something worth seeing or friend. Orpah returns to the garbage can and drops from the pages of scripture and history, never to be heard about again. Now Ruth begs Naomi to allow her to return with her. This type of spirit, no doubt, drew the attention of God. Jesus himself could not refuse the pleas of a Canaanite woman when she refused to give up her desire to see her daughter healed. Look at this, Matthew chapter 15 for that account. Matthew chapter 15 with me. In Matthew chapter 15, in verses 21 through 28, the Word of God says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, children being in Israel, and cast it to dogs, the Gentiles. We call this woman a dog. And she said, this is how she replied. She didn't give up. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dog, she said, yes, I'm a dog. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. All she wanted was a crumb. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This woman, even though she, like Ruth, did not warrant God's blessing or attention, amen, they both received it, both Ruth and this woman of Canaan. Now let's try to finish out the chapter, if we can, in the remaining time, and of Ruth. The third division we see is in verses 19 through 22. Amen. So far we've seen a wrong decision, a wrong direction, and thirdly, a wrong disposition. Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. So they too went unto, they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. 10 years can make a big difference in appearance and attitude. Naomi hears the whisperers and is aware of the gossip. They said, "Is this Naomi?" She makes an announcement. "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara." The name Naomi means pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. You see, she's blaming God for all her troubles. Amen. She did the same thing back there in verse 13 when she said, "The Lord is gone out against me." She made the mistake of judging God's hand apart from his heart. We see that Naomi preaches a good 3-point sermon called "The Testimony of a Backslider." She says in verse 21, "I went out full." This is ironic because the reason they left was because there was a famine in the land. You see, it's better to suffer famine in Bethlehem than to have the best bread in Moab, amen? And then she further says, the Lord, verse 21, "The Lord hath brought me home again, empty." When Naomi left, she was pleasant. When she returns, her disposition has completely changed. She's bitter. And then finally she says in that verse 21, "The Almighty hath afflicted me." The scripture reminds us God disciplines us because he loves us. Isn't that right? In Hebrews chapter 12, look at in verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." He told Elimelech and Naomi not to seek the prosperity of Moab, but they didn't listen. And now she's paying the price. In spite of Naomi's bitterness, we see the hand of God working behind the scenes to bring about his will and to work for the good of Naomi. And we can't but remember, as we think about this, what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." They return in the time for the harvest. While it may seem to be a coincidence, those who believe the Bible know better. So that concludes chapter number 1 of the book of Ruth. And when we return, Lord willing, next time on the pastor's study, we will take up chapter number 2 of the book of Ruth. It's been a blessing to be able to come to you today on the pastor's study, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening today. And until we meet again, my prayer is for each and every one of you that God would richly bless you, and good day.